And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I hope you got outside this weekend and enjoyed the fresh air and the sunshine. Hope you had good weather where you were, because a new MIT study is now showing that the worst thing in the world for COVID is to be shut indoors. Yeah. Remember all of those shutdowns and stay in and don't go out and worst thing in the world we could have done. Worst thing in the world. Because the study shows that the transmission of the disease is much greater indoors, that 6 feet indoors doesn't matter, whereas outdoors, there's very little transmission of the disease outdoors. And we were being given curfews, get inside, stay inside, don't go out, don't visit your grandchildren, don't be in the park, run with a mask on. I mean, folks, I hope you're enjoying your life in spite of these so-called experts who are proving to be utterly bereft of any common sense, that you are enjoying yourself and living your life. Now, do you understand why Christians should never surrender our lives to experts? You know, there's a kind of secular leftist idolatry. Follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. As if science has some sort of monopoly on absolute truth. And when science speaks, we must all bow. Yes, yes, Mr. Scientist. Yes, Dr. Fauci, we will do what you command, sir. Hogwash. These people have been more wrong than they've been right. Now we find out that probably it worsened the outcome of this whole COVID mess to stick people indoors and tell them don't come out. And yes, that's what we were told. We've got to lock down. We've got to have lockdowns. We've got to have mandates. We've got to command people. And basically what they were doing was commanding people, go get the disease as quickly and as efficiently as you can. Stay indoors so you can get it quicker. And being outside is one of the best things you can do to prevent the transmission of the disease. And I think we're going to find out the same is true with masking. That masking doesn't do anything for anybody. I really don't. I mean, now people say, well, common sense. You can't, you know, if there's less transmission, in other words, your spittle, your, you know, droplets are not going through the mask. But a virus is smaller than a droplet. And they can travel on air, right? I mean, you don't need droplets in order to transmit the disease, correct? So follow the science, you know, follow God. Follow your own wisdom, your own common sense. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I dare say. Oh, are you saying follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit rather than following Dr. Fauci? Yes, I am. Amen. I'm saying it loudly. I'm saying it without apology. I'm saying it without any trepidation whatsoever. Yes, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and not Dr. Fauci. Because Anthony Fauci has, as far as I'm concerned, folks, I don't know the man personally, but I think it's gone to his head that he's the highest paid employee in the federal government. And he is. Did you know that? Yeah, he's the highest paid employee. He makes more than the president of the United States. Yes, he does. About $17,000 a year more. President makes $400,000 a year. Dr. Fauci makes about $417,000. And I think that may have gone to his head. And he thinks when he speaks, everybody ought to listen. And frankly, I think people across the country have stopped listening. I don't think they're interested. So that means you don't need to be wearing a mask when you're out jogging. I mean, are you kidding me? That's a good way to pass out. You need as much oxygen as you can get into your lungs. And you don't need to be wearing a mask in your car by yourself. That's it. As soon as I have to wear a mask, you got to wear a mask, go into the supermarket, you got to wear a mask. As soon as I walk out, off comes the mask, into my armrest, done with the thing. You will not find me riding around in my car wearing a mask. And yet some people do. They jog with a mask. They walk. I've seen people walking down a lonely street by themselves, literally, folks. I'm not exaggerating. Literally. Nobody within a mile of them, and they've got a mask on. I don't know. I guess they're afraid of catching it from themselves, I guess. You know, maybe they might breathe out COVID and then breathe in COVID and catch it from themselves, I guess, because there's nobody else around to catch it from. Well, you know what? I never thought in the last year that I'd end up saying this. COVID might be the least of our problems. Really, it might be the least of our problems because, as I've said before, we've got a virus that is going throughout the land that is cultural and spiritual and psychological that, in my view, will in the long term do much more damage than COVID if we don't get it under control, if we don't arrest it. It will do immense damage to our country. Frankly, it already is doing immense damage to our country because it's undermining our sense of confidence in one another. It's undermining any sense of national unity. It is undermining any sense of trust in our police officers, and they're doing their jobs. They're leaving police departments in droves, and they're having a very, very difficult time finding replacements. New York's in a crisis over this. I think they had a 75% increase in the number of police officers who resigned last year or retired last year. And this is happening all over the country. There's a spike in crime, as a direct result of this dishonor and disrespect shown to police officers. And it's, there's got to be an impact on police officers who are thinking to themselves, I'm not going to respond to every call because I'm not going to put my life on the line for people who hate me and for people for whom, as this police officer did in the Makai Bryant situation, I saved somebody's life and people want to put me in jail. Now, probably not most police officers respond that way. Most have taken an oath and they're going to do their duty. But you can't tell me that some police officers don't second guess themselves and say, do I really want to put myself up for that? Do I really want to risk not only my life, but assuming that I help and save someone's life and I have to take a life, are they going to put me in jail? And now, I think it's in New York that they've removed the liability shield so that now you can be personally sued. You can have your car, your home, your savings, whatever investments you have, you can have that taken away because you made a mistake in judgment and somebody decides they're going to punish you by taking everything you've got. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Because there is a circumstance in our country now where we're living in Isaiah 5 times. Evil is good, good is evil. Darkness is light, light is darkness. Bitter is sweet, sweet is bitter. People are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So we may be facing a much worse cultural situation than we faced a medical situation with COVID. Stand by. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
You know, when an issue surfaces that the progressive mob doesn't like, you can bet that a few woke corporations will swoop down and act like the fourth branch of government. The election law passed in Georgia is just the most recent example. Corporate influence and interference is now spreading to other states, now considering laws to improve election integrity. Now, you might wonder why the country's corporations don't stop and consider the implications for their companies. Haven't they learned the lesson from other companies that have paid a price in their bottom line for social activism? A few examples are Dick's Sporting Goods, Target Stores, and Gillette. The CEO of Coca-Cola took to the media to voice his displeasure, using a British accent, about the Georgia voting law. Almost immediately, that brought attention to the company doing business in China with oppressive human rights violations. And the CEO of Delta Airlines seems to think that it is racist to require Georgia voters to show an ID when Delta requires every passenger to do so at check-in. Is he the best voice for the oppressed when you consider that he makes more money in one day than the average American makes in a year? Add to that the revelation that Delta has been working with legislative leaders to exclude some controversial proposals and then suddenly jumped into the debate as if this was the first they'd heard of the bill. And have you noticed that corporations never jump into a political debate until they feel they have more to lose by being neutral? They fear the progressive mob, but perhaps it's time for them to fear the moderate and conservative consumer. They also drink soda, fly airplanes, and buy baseball tickets. Most Americans really don't want corporations and companies to take sides, produce the best product or service, and stay out of politics and the culture wars. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
When this mom ended a bad relationship, she found out she was pregnant. After the father told her to get an abortion, Julia was confused and didn't know what to do or who to talk to.
I just knew that if I got an abortion, a part of me would be broken.
Julia was referred to a preborn center where she was counseled and supported with the strength she needed to choose life.
I couldn't imagine my life without him. Because of them, he's here. We're going to get through it, and it's going to be okay.
Preborn centers provide hope, love, free ultrasounds, and the gospel in action to moms like Julia. To find out more about the Ministry of Preborn, visit them online at preborn.com. Again, that's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say the keyword baby. Your love can save a life.
Brian Fisher here. If we follow the science on COVID, we ditch masks and social distancing altogether. Another Fauci flip-flop. Kamala skips a visit to the border again. Cops have a little fun with LeBron, plus a restaurant owner launches his own protest. And a poll on Joe Biden reveals that Americans see right through the talking snake media. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
What's worse than COVID? I'll tell you what's worse. What's worse? Are you ready for this? Because I am not saying this as some kind of joke or trying to be sarcastic. So just get ready for what I'm about to say. What's worse than COVID? Black Lives Matter is worse than COVID. How can you say such a thing? How can you? Because COVID is a medical problem and a disease problem that is going to run its course. I think Black Lives Matter could so infect the culture of our country and so divide us racially that it could take a generation for us to undo the damage they are doing. So, yeah, we've got worse problems, in my view, than COVID. Now, Patrice Cullors just came out with a statement, and here again, her words, not mine, trained Marxist, okay? And by the way, can I just as a footnote say this? You know, I really believe that we should, as a nation, start looking at anybody. And I'm serious about this. I know people say, well, wait a minute, you can't violate people's civil rights. I'm not talking about violating people's civil rights. Everybody's entitled to due process. But I really believe that anybody who proclaims themselves a Marxist or themselves, any people who proclaim themselves Marxists or communists are a threat to our national security because it raises the question whether they have a greater level of fealty and loyalty to what is now the head of the communist movement in the world, which is communist China, they have a greater loyalty to them than they do to the United States of America, and therefore they become a national security threat. I'm very serious about that. Patrice Cullors says she and her co-founder are trained Marxists. Trained by whom? Who trained them? Where did the money come to train them? All this money that Patrice Cullors is sitting on, how much money of that, how much of that money is funneled into her coffers through communist China? Is she really a bought and paid for operative of the communist Chinese? I think, folks, that these are serious questions that have got to be asked in the interest of American national security. Well, as is normally the case, or as is usually the case, Black Lives Matter is not interested. We just had a three-year-old shot last night in Miami-Dade County at a birthday party. Three-year-old shot to death, killed. That's right on the heels of last week. Jaslyn Adams, 7 years old, sitting in a car in a McDonald's, killed. The press release from Black Lives Matter decrying this and calling for law enforcement to find the perpetrators and for this kind of stuff to be dealt with so that we do not have repeats of having our children slaughtered, innocent children slaughtered. The press release from Black Lives Matter on that issue, I missed it. Yeah, somehow it didn't reach my desk because it hasn't been issued. Because they don't care about black lives. They've done a better job at dividing this country and creating tremendous economic loss and dislocation and increasing crime against black people. Yes, they've increased crime against black people because crime has spiked. And where is it spiked? In the neighborhoods that are most beset by crime. And what are those neighborhoods? Those are black communities. By decrying the police and vilifying the police and slandering the police, you've got more murders taking place of black people in America. Thank you, Black Lives Matter. Good job. Good job. More black people are dead from violence since Black Lives Matter emerged on the scene as a major force last year. And she's a trained Marxist. Well, Marxists would love to undermine America. She's doing a pretty good job of it. Sitting on about $90 million, several homes she just purchased. She's doing a pretty good job. Enjoying all the best that America has to offer while just denigrating the country and claiming America is a white supremacist country. But somehow she's got $90 million. And she's got several homes now. Looking at one multimillion-dollar home in the Bahamas that in an area that is populated primarily by celebrities, because she's one of them now. Oh, and by the way, they pointed out that the homes she was buying weren't in black neighborhoods. So the money's not even being brought into black neighborhoods that she claims she's so concerned about, because they're not concerned. That's why I don't make any apology for denouncing. I'm not threading the needle like some people want to do. Well, I may not agree with everything that they stand for, but I agree with the concept. I don't agree with the concept. Because all lives matter. All lives matter. And yes, that means black people's lives matter, white people's lives matter, Asian people's lives matter, Indian people's lives matter, police officers' lives matter, unborn babies' lives matter. Black Lives Matter is out of sync with the word of God, period. And I will not countenance or sanction it or approve of it or agree with it in any way. Let me add one other thing, and I'm getting to this new proposal by Patrice Cullors, but let me add one more thing. And here again, I've said this before, and I really don't want to be misunderstood, so let me just preface it. I have no sympathy, no empathy for any white supremacist movement. Okay, let's be clear about that. Obviously, I denounce all of that. However, You know what the biggest contributor to whatever such movements there are in America is? The biggest contributor is Black Lives Matter and Antifa, because they spend so much time vilifying quote unquote white people that the people out there who are inclined or predisposed toward violence and anger and bitterness and hatred, those are usually marginalized people. Often they're marginalized people who feel that life has not dealt them a good hand anyway, and they're looking for an excuse to be angry, just like a lot of these so-called black activists are, who haven't done anything with their own lives, haven't studied, haven't gotten a job, haven't taken care of their own families, haven't taken care of their own children, but it's everything that happens to them is somebody else's fault, and they just love to get out there and protest and talk about what's not happened for them because of someone else, namely, quote unquote, the white man. Well, guess what? You want to divide the country? You want to stir up racial strife? There are plenty of people out there, undoubtedly, on the margins, who say, you know what, I'm tired of being vilified. I'm tired of being told I'm the scourge of the earth because of the color of my skin. I'm tired of being told there's something wrong with me because of something I have no control over. So I tell you what, we'll just see about that. And you give those folks justification for engaging in the same kind of evil that they see happening in the inner cities of this country, which is murder and riots and robbery and looting and rapes and drug dealing and every other kind of depraved behavior you can think of. Say, well, if they're going to accuse me of that, well, then you know what? I'm going to fight back. That's why there's no future in dividing the country racially. There's no future in telling everybody it's all about the color of their skin. It's all about, Americans, get back to my language, Americans of European descent are this, and Americans of African descent are that. Americans of European descent are oppressors. Americans of African descent, they are victims. And never the twain shall meet. That's a formula for disaster for the country. Well, Patrice Cullors has now proposed not the dismantling of police, not the defunding of the police. She's proposing that the entire criminal justice system be done away with. No, I'm not kidding, folks. She wants the criminal justice system, quote, abolished. Abolished. No, I'm not making a mistake. She's calling this a new abolition movement. To abolish the criminal justice system. Now, folks, that comes straight out of Marx's playbook. The Communist Manifesto, if I'm not mistaken, talks about that. Karl Marx believes that the capitalist criminal justice system is illegitimate because all it's doing is punishing people who don't know how to use capitalism properly. And they should not be punished for that, because the system is inherently unjust and puts them in the position where they abuse capitalism in order to get what they think they want and need. They are not criminals. They should not be prosecuted. They should not be put in prison. Nothing should happen to them. That's Karl Marx's view. Well, she's saying that's what we need in America. We need to completely do away with the criminal justice system and replace it with what? A communist Politburo, where they decide that you are no longer in keeping with the best interests of the party. You are adjudged guilty by the edict of a party official and taken out back and shot. That's what they've got in mind. They don't have any... These people, they're Marxists. They said it themselves. They don't understand a constitutional republic. They don't even have any respect for our Constitution. They think the Constitution and the Declaration are just documents written by, again, their words, old white men who were slaveholders, and you can just dismiss them as completely invalid. Well, I'm going to continue to fight for that Declaration and Constitution.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Back more than 2,000 years ago, a very wise man wrote some very wise words. This is what he said. A word in season, what a help it is. the writer of the book of Proverbs, was indeed a wiser man than we sometimes give him credit for being. The author of Proverbs went on to state that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. There are some key words which, if one will genuinely use, will make life much more meaningful. There is the word of humor. Humor is, without a doubt, one of the finest medicines we have. It will cure a multitude of real and imagined ills. It will help calm anger, cool tempers, and remove hatred. One thing is for certain, it's a quality we could use more of in our tension-packed world. Those who have learned to use humor have found it a very good partner. Look at some of the fantastic salaries being given to top comedians these days. There's always in our world a place for humor and anyone who knows how to use it. Then there's the word of appreciation. Most of us have underestimated the real worth of this word. One day I received a note of appreciation from a friend of mine in the morning mail. It didn't take 2 minutes to write that note, and it contained fewer words than an average grocery list. Yet it meant more to me than any other piece of mail I received during that entire month. How often we could show appreciation and how few are the times we actually do it. Thank you doesn't take 2 seconds to say, and it could last a lifetime. The wise man was correct. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. There's also the word of encouragement. Sometimes this word of encouragement makes the difference between heaven and hell. I have hit rock bottom in my life many times, only to have someone speak a word of encouragement to me and set me to whistling again. Just to have one person who understands and speaks a word of encouragement often makes all the difference in the world. One reoccurring phrase of Paul's was, "Hold fast." Paul knew well the worth of just a couple of words of encouragement. A word in season, what a help it is. Then there's the word of forgiveness. My guess is that we speak fewer of these than any other kind. This is true not because we need to speak fewer, but because they are often harder to speak. How much we need to follow the example of Christ here. The woman caught in the act of adultery, when brought to Christ, realized the unsurpassed worth of a word of forgiveness. How long has it been since we've spoken a word of forgiveness to one who has wronged us? It would do tremendous good for them and to us to speak it. There is also the word we speak for God. A minister desiring help in finding a job for a convict once wrote me, "God's grace, as I have experienced it, can do great things. And if it did it for me, why not for this man?" You know, the world's waiting to hear a word like that. A word in season, what a help it is. Saying the right word at the right time can truly be one of God's richest blessings. Let me close with a little poem. God wove a web of loveliness, of clouds and stars and birds, but made not anything at all so beautiful as words.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, we want to welcome some additional stations that are airing the program, not necessarily live, but if you're listening on one of those stations and you're not listening live, please get in touch with us. Go to AFR.net. You can listen to the podcast of our program after it's aired, or you can live stream it while it's airing on AFR.net. And don't forget the podcast, folks. The podcasts are extremely important to us, engaging your involvement and interest in what we are trying to do. So thank you all for that. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I want to remind you that on Tuesday, tomorrow, 12 noon, staying true to America's national destiny, has a conference call. We call it the National Awakening Conference Call. Our guest tomorrow is going to be Ken Blackwell, 12 noon Eastern time. Ken Blackwell, former UN ambassador for human rights under President Ronald Reagan, former mayor of Cincinnati, former secretary of state for the state of Cincinnati, and one of the greatest leaders in our country right now. I mean, he is, frankly, folks, most people don't realize this, but he's on the board of the NRA. He's providing leadership and guidance for that organization, the Family Research Council, and a host of others, including, as a matter of fact, being on the board of STAND, too. Outstanding individual. So he'll be on our call tomorrow. He's going to be talking about, remember, he was also on President Trump's election board. Remember that board that President Trump established to investigate election fraud? He was part of that. And so he's going to be talking about the Georgia law and the lies told about it, what it actually provides as opposed to what people are saying about it, and his insights as someone, remember, as Secretary of State of Ohio, he actually controlled elections. So he knows something about elections and election law. So that's going to be exciting. Tune in for that. The number again, 888-589-8840. Let me put a couple more things out there. So the Oscars, which I would never watch. I mean, this, as far as I'm concerned, the whole thing is an abomination. And what little homage Tyler Perry gave to the police, as far as I'm concerned, is woefully inadequate. I find him to be a needle threader, but, you know, I mean, people are giving him a lot of accolades. At least he mentioned the police as people we shouldn't hate. I'll give him for that credit for that. That's great. But, yeah, I think there's a lot more that needs to be said. Our country is not moving in the right direction. He is now a billionaire, believe it or not, folks. He is now a billionaire, and he should be, again, among the first to stand up and say, wait a minute, you can do anything you want in America. He grew up poor. He's a billionaire. He should be saying, wait a minute, get up off your backside and go to work. Use your talents. Use your gifts. I remember going to his plays when he might get 400 or 500 people in an audience, and they were traveling around the country doing this stuff, and my wife and I years ago went to one of them, and it was just, you know, nobody thought anything about it. It was just Tyler Perry, whoever that is, and now he's a billionaire and a Hollywood mogul. He could do a lot to help this country if he decided to speak up as the Christian he claims to be. Now, that's just me, as opposed to threading the needle and trying to make everybody happy and keep his little Hollywood buddies from turning on him and all of that. I mean, he doesn't need him now. If he's worth $1 billion, he can write his own ticket. They need him more than he needs them. But so last night, apparently at the Oscars, one guy gets up and says, you know, there are three people killed by police today and three people will be killed tomorrow. Then he quotes James Baldwin, something he said in one of his novels, please don't ignore our pain. But you know what he didn't tell you? He didn't tell you that police arrest over 25,000 people a day. They arrest over 25,000. I'm not talking about traffic stops. If you get into traffic stops, you're probably, and I'm only guessing because we don't have any data on the number of traffic stops that people, that police officers do. But let's just take a guess. Let's just take a stab at it. 100,000 stops a day all over the country. So now you're talking about 125,000 interactions a day. And that's probably a low estimate. But 125,000 interactions a day with Americans. And he's talking about, and they killed three people today. 25,000 of those are arrests. Most of those arrests are of bad people. Bad people. And in that situation, three die. And you know what he also didn't say? Two of them are not black. He didn't say that. Please understand our pain. You know, you just want to... Somebody educate these people. Because the fact that we got about 1 million law enforcement officers, I think about 900,000 who are actually patrolling our cities and towns and counties. And the fact that you have only three people out of 25,000 arrests, out of 10 million arrests a year, the minuscule number of people who are actually killed in violent interactions with police is amazing to me. It's amazing. But oh no, it's the worst thing that happens. And yet, while he mentioned those three, he did not mention the fact that every single year somewhere in the vicinity of 650 to 700 people will die in inner city violence. And a month. And so, you know, divide that up into a day, as opposed to the three in interactions with police. And what do you get? Over a 30-day period, you get, what, about 20 people a day dying at the hands of some other black person. Approximately 20 black people a day dying at the hands of some other black person. And one at the hands of a police officer, usually in a violent confrontation. So you take the one, and that's all that matters, and the other 20 don't. I mean, enough of this stuff, folks. I mean, really, if they had any truth on their side, okay, I could say, all right, well, you know, you got a point. Let's talk about it. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to talk about except the propaganda of the mainstream media making us think that there's some sort of epidemic of police violence against black folks, and it's just not true. All right, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Lynn in Arkansas. Lynn, welcome. Lynn, you are on.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't follow sports, but I remember hearing that there was a player who was adopted, and I was like a really famous player. Was that LeBron?
No, that was Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, okay.
There may be some others, but Colin Kaepernick was adopted. He was adopted by a white family. Lived a very good life. And they nurtured him and encouraged him. And, yeah, he ends up in the NFL. So, yeah, Colin Kaepernick.
Really blessed.
And he's running around like, you know, the scourge of the earth. And he's been so mistreated. I mean, give me a break. Go ahead, Lynn.
LeBron strikes me as being angry. And who knows why anybody's an angry person. But I know that. I mean, you know, a lot of stuff is stirred up to make people angry, but that's the question I ask.
Yeah, I think, Lynn, to tell you the truth, I'm convinced of this. I don't have data to prove this in the sports world, but what we do know is that there's an epidemic of absentee fathers. Colin Kaepernick is another instance of that. And I think that that does produce anger in young men. And I think LeBron James is no different. I think LeBron James was raised pretty much by his mother. And I think these guys feel inadequate and they feel abandoned and they feel what's wrong with me, that my dad wasn't there, or what's wrong with him, that he didn't value me enough to be there. And I think it comes out in all kinds of ways. And it is at epidemic levels. And I think if we're looking for reasons for folks to be angry, I think that's probably a big one. Thanks for the call, Lynn. We appreciate it. Folks, I've got to go to a break. We'll be back momentarily. The number is 888-589-8840. In the next segment, it's all your calls, okay? So we've got a few open lines. Get in on them, and I'll get every single one of you in I can in the next segment. Back in a moment.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Here's another of our core values. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. Thank you for standing with AFA, and we thank you for your support.
In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
I loved it. I loved how biblically sound it was, all the scripture to back it up.
The testimonies, very powerful.
If it's a prodigal child that has just run away, or one that's caught up in same-sex attraction, there's hope in Jesus.
In His Image is now available on DVD and can be purchased in bulk to pass out to friends and family. Order today by visiting afastore.net.
The Ministry of Preborn saves babies' lives and souls by meeting moms where they are and introducing them to their preborn baby on ultrasound.
As soon as I saw that heartbeat, it was over. I cried the hottest tears I've ever cried. and I felt a fire in my belly and in my soul, and God touched me that day. He pierced my heart for my child, and I felt love.
When an expectant mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby. Preborn is the number one competition to the abortion industry in the United States. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com, or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say the keyword baby. Your love can save a life.
Well, with the women in your life, one of their primary needs is just to be not just valued, but validated, to be heard, to feel understood.
Well, it's a fact that men and women relate differently. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Dr. Michael Smalley offers encouragement to men as you relate to your wife and daughters.
And if you get too stuck on the facts, then you're going to miss an opportunity to connect with your wife or to connect with your daughter, because it's not about the facts. It's about the feelings. And so if you get stuck and razor focused, I did not say that. Well, that might be factually true, but that's not the point. Your wife is wanting to be heard right now in this moment. She wants to be validated. She wants to know that, hey, I matter. It's one of the ways we can really help our wife feel valued is by listening.
Hear more today from Michael at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. I want to get right to your calls, because you all have been waiting very patiently, and I appreciate that. So let's get to your calls. Let's see. Let's go to, that's Haywood in Mississippi. Haywood, welcome.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Doctor. I appreciate it. And God bless a man that will tell the truth. I pray for you and your ministry every day.
Thank you, brother.
The Chi-Com relationship with BLM, they are financing all these front groups. And if people would like to do a little research, research the scientists at MIT that helped develop the lab in Wuhan, China. He was knee-deep with the Chi-Coms. 90% of these activists are backed by the Chinese. It's a horrible thing in America. They're so deeply embedded. They say 50% of the White House is White House red. Matter of fact, new books have been released by that name. But I thank you and I praise you for alerting the American people and telling them to be of good courage, because we are on God's side. And I take your comments all back.
Thank you, Haywood. Appreciate the call. Yeah, look, I don't have any doubt whatsoever, folks. Given what China is doing around the world, the amount of money that they're spending to co-opt every nation they can, and knowing that America is their chief competitor, are you kidding? Do you think that they're not spending every dime they can get their hands on to co-opt every American who they think is sympathetic to them? And then they're using the language of BLM. America's violating human rights. Just look at BLM. They're telling you. You know, when you're an organization that gets cited by the Chinese in support of their position, you ought to check yourself. I mean, really. If I ever have people like that using me to help them, I'm going to go back and review what I'm saying. Because those folks, I'm talking about the Chinese communists, they are our enemies. Let there be no mistake about it. Our enemies. And anybody who is consorting with them is an enemy of the United States of America. I don't care what the color of their skin is. Okay, let's go to Robert in North Carolina. Yeah, Robert, North Carolina, you've got some stuff going down here in Elizabeth City right now, too. Welcome, Robert.
Hey, thank you, Bishop. I appreciate that. Yeah, North Carolina is a hot mess right now with our governor. I just want to make a comment on the with the divisiveness. With the divisiveness here and all around the country, you know, the left has got to fight it so that our sights are on each other instead of on the left leadership and the people that are spewing out all this hatred and divisiveness. And, mm-hmm. if you know, that way they can maybe even mobilize the military so that they can maintain quote unquote control of the masses, you know, that way, you know, that way they have an excuse or whatever they need in order to, you know, be able to continue to hold on to us instead of and allowing us to turn our sights on each other when we should be turning our sights on this horrible leadership that we're dealing with right now. That's all I got to say, and I appreciate your time, Bishop. Semper Fi, by the way.
All right. Semper Fi, Robert. Thank you. Look, I couldn't agree more, Robert. The American people, I think, frankly, are caught between a rock and a hard place. If you listen to the Communist News Network, CNN, and you listen to the Marxist Socialist No Brains Channel, MSNBC, and to any of these other alphabet networks, you're going to get brainwashed. If that's what you're listening to and you think you're getting news and information, you're going to get brainwashed. I told you all, I heard stories about what happened in Windsor, Virginia, and I immediately thought, well, the cops had misbehaved. And then when I saw Brandon Tatum's video of the entire thing, I thought, oh my goodness, they even got me. Because yeah, the cops said a couple of things they probably shouldn't have said. But when you looked at the whole thing in its context, you got an entirely different picture. Mainstream media doesn't want you to get into, they don't want you to get the full picture. They want you to get a propagandized view a narrative that they are pushing. And the American people are caught up in that, and we've got to dispense with that. Frankly, folks, tell everybody to listen to American Family Radio. I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but look, that would be a good start, because you're certainly not going to get that garbage here. You're going to get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. So thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Melinda in Illinois. Melinda, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. This is your sister in Christ from Illinois again. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Melinda, sister in Christ. Good to hear from you again.
Okay, so I'll make mine quick so you can get some more calls in. So first thing, my first point is I still don't understand. I'm all about why are we all so blind? These very people who are telling us we need to be victims, we are victims. They're rich, they're powerful. All of this is really about them maintaining their power and trying to keep some segment of us down. Why they would misuse their own people, meaning African-Americans or Americans mm-hmm. of African descent, for their own gain is really sad to me. That's worse than any bigot could ever be, that you misuse your own people so that you can stay in power and keep money. But anyway, mm-hmm. nonetheless, I have a message for Tyler Perry. So, you know, he loaned his plane to Al Sharpton to fly into Minnesota, preach the message for that young man who was killed.
Melinda.
Yeah, oh, you didn't see the video? Google it. Somebody videoed him walking to the plane, to Tyler's plane. So how about having Tyler let Al Sharpton and everybody else use your plane to fly into Chicago and all these other places where all of our people are killing ourselves? Seriously, you know, none of them show up. Jesse Jackson lives in Chicago. Al Sharpton can fly everywhere else.
Louis Farrakhan lives in Chicago. Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So,
and it's a mess.
You know, fly here. Borrow the plane and fly here and tell our people to stop shooting one another and killing one another every week. Be concerned about that, just as you are about every time, unfortunately, a white police officer may kill somebody black, but you're not concerned about the 27 that got shot in Chicago this past weekend. And
Exactly, Melinda. But, complete silence on that. All right, Melinda,
thank you, Bishop.
Thank you, dear. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for the call. And wow, see, that's why I love you. I love you all anyway, but that's why I love my listeners, because I didn't know that Tyler Perry, see, I was just saying, to me, he kind of threads the needle. Now, Tyler Perry, as a Christian, should not be helping Al Sharpton go anywhere to stir up a bunch of racial mess. And he's always saying he's a Christian. Why would you do that? Al Sharpton's not providing any kind of peace or wisdom to anything. Al Sharpton is a racial demagogue and an exploiter of the issue of race for his own benefit. That's it. That's all. Oh, my goodness gracious. I tell you, Melinda, that just gives me another reason to be very disappointed with him, since he always reminds people that he's a Christian. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't give Al Sharpton a ride up the street if I knew he was going up the street to speak that garbage he's spoken into the country for the last 30 years or so. All right, let's go to Jana of Kansas. Jana, welcome. Is it Jana? Do I have that pronounced correctly?
Yes, you do.
All right, welcome.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you thank you for being our voice, all of us that listen to you every day. It's sharing our heart with, you know, what you do that we can't do, and I appreciate that so much.
Well, thank you, Jana.
And that
was it?
Okay.
All right. Well, Jana, thank you so much. Always appreciate the encouragement. God bless you. And believe me, I intend to stay here and keep doing what I'm doing. So you pray for me that the Lord will see fit to allow that to happen. So God bless, Jana. Thank you. Let's go to Jeremy in Texas. Jeremy, welcome.
Hey, how are you today?
Great, Jeremy. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to call... talking about like the George Floyd stuff and everything. I work for a large city department. I'm not going to mention which one, but I was hired 20 years ago. The individuals they're hiring now wouldn't have been hired then. They've lowered the standards. They don't have a set standard anymore. They have a minimum standard for officers they hire. If you can pass a background check in an eighth grade reading level, you can become an officer today. And I think when I watch like the video of the George Floyd deal, that's a horrific incident. But what I see there is an officer who didn't have any business being there in the first place.
There you go, Jeremy. Jeremy, listen, I'm almost out of time, Jeremy, but that you said it. I think that says it all. And here again, we should never stereotype our police officers because one police officer does something bad. You've got police officers out there dealing with people in the millions, tens of millions every single year. And most of it comes off without a hitch. So please, they should be commended rather than being vilified and attacked. Let's get one more in. I guess I don't have time to get one more in. Folks, thank you all so much for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for everything that you do for this network. We are truly grateful to you. Keep praying for us because as the situation seems to get hotter all over the country, our voice, the voice of this network, not just me, but the voice of this network becomes that much more important that people can get good information, solid information, talk to one another and express their concerns with one another when often we'll be censored if we try to do that in some other venue. So listen, we really do appreciate you all supporting us and we're not going anywhere. We're here for the full count, folks. We're here, the Lord willing, and we believe he is until Jesus comes. And look, you just make up your mind to be the same, right? That I've made up my mind. I don't care what I'm going to stand up for that Constitution and that flag and this country until I breathe my final breath. And nothing is going to stop me from doing that by the grace of Almighty God, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.